privilege to be here today. I feel like a mule at the Kentucky Derby today. And brother, you said you was nervous last night. I could thread a sewing machine with it running today. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to John chapter 14? Be familiar scripture to you. Sometimes I think we overlook familiar scripture because we think that everyone's preached it and everyone knows it. John chapter 14. If you're there, would you say amen and would you stand for the reading of God's word? Verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me." Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for this time and this honor to be in your pulpit this morning, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross this morning, Lord. I pray that you'd use me for a little while. Lord, you have your way in this service, Lord. And Lord, I pray to preach that you'd let me preach under the anointing of your word. Better yet, Lord, I pray that you'd just use me as an instrument to preach your word this morning, that you would do the preaching this morning. And Lord, I thank you for these people that would get take their time away from whatever they'd be normally doing to be in your house today, Lord. And Lord, I realize I'm probably preaching to the cream of the crop, Lord, but Lord, we need preaching sometimes too. And Lord, I pray that you'd have your way. Use me, I pray. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to set the stage for you just a little bit here before we get into the Word. And I want you to realize that he's got 11 of the disciples here that he's speaking to right now. And in the previous chapter, really is leading up to these words right now. And They've been to supper there, and Judas has went out and on his way to betray the Lord there, and he's trying to get them ready, knowing that he's got to go to the cross, and he's trying to prepare the disciples for what's to come, and he's explaining to them, and he says, "It's expedient that I go away." And Peter said, "Why can't I go with you now?" And he said, "Because you don't know the way, and because later on you'll find out." I'm paraphrasing here, but Peter said, "I'll follow you till to my death if you'll let me go, Lord." And Jesus told him, he said, "Before the cock crows that you'll deny me three times." And so this is where we're at right now. And could I tell you, if I could bring this down a little bit, I believe that Jesus has the beginning of the church right here. He's got his disciples with him. Could I tell you today, I don't know about you, but I believe this applies to the church today as much as it did to the disciples right then. I thought about that, and I preached this at my home church just a few weeks ago, and I got to thinking about all that. He said, "Let your heart not be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled." And could I tell you, my friend, today, that we let too many things trouble us in the house of God today. And could I tell you, there's things that trouble me. It troubles me when a sinner sits in the house of God and doesn't respond to the Word of God. Could I tell you today, I think a lot of times that we go to church and do it in a ritualistic form instead of just letting God go and have His way. And could I tell you, we need to spend as much time in prayer before we go to church as we spend at church. And could I tell you today,
I believe that God is still powerful and He's still on the throne. And could I tell you, my friend, He's not lost any power. If anyone's lost any power, my friend, today, it's us that stand in the pulpit because we don't preach under the anointing of God's Word. And can I tell you, God's Word will be not effective in the church or in the surrounding community unless the anointing is on us today. And could I tell you, I don't know about you, but I've experienced it too many times in the church that I pastor, that God is still the great physician, and He's still in the healing business, and He's still in the soul-saving business. And could I tell you, you asked for a request while ago, there's a man laying in intensive care in the hospital right now. And could I tell you, this shows how powerful God is. And it's not anything that I've done, or but the family asked us to come up and talk to him. This man has told many preachers in the past that's tried to talk to him about God to get out of here and leave me alone about it. In fact, when he went into the hospital after having a heart attack, the hospital chaplain there had tried to talk to him and ask if he could pray with him. And he said, "No, I'd rather not. Just leave me alone." But could I tell you, I got to visit with him a little while Thursday night while he was coherent enough to talk to. And I asked him if it'd be all right if we just had prayer. You know what? Sometimes when you're flat on your back is the only time that you realize that, I stand in need of prayer. And he said, yes. And I quoted him this scripture from memory. And I told him, I said, "God's prepared a place for you, too, if you'll accept Him tonight, just as well as He's already prepared a place for me." I told him a few other scriptures. And when I prayed with him, I asked him to squeeze my hand if he accepted the Lord as his Savior. And he squeezed my hand, and could I tell you, by all rights, he shouldn't even be alive. I believe God let him live long enough that because he doesn't want to send anyone to hell this morning. He wants all. And I believe that they talk about predestination, and I'll just go ahead and give you my opinion while I'm up here, and you can disagree with me if you want, but I believe that he did predestine men to be saved. Every man and every woman and every boy and every girl that's come to the age of accountability is predestined. But he also gave us a free will to accept that or reject it. And could I tell you, my friend, I'll tell you something else. We let things trouble us, and we let disease trouble us, and we let financial needs trouble us, and we let someone saying something behind our back trouble us. But Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And what he was saying by this, and you can disagree with me if you want. There's a lot of things in this life will cause us trouble. Sickness will cause us trouble. Our kids will cause us trouble once in a while. Our grandchildren will cause us trouble. But could I tell you, for the child of God that has that blessed hope of Jesus Christ, that will be in the resurrection one day, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." We don't need to let our heart be troubled when it comes to Jesus Christ, my friend, because He is my Savior. He is the one that I look to when everything else around me is in turmoil and I don't know what to do or where to turn. There He is my going place. He's my hiding place. He's the one that I'll get off by myself and talk to. And could I tell you, I don't even have to get off by myself. I can talk to Him wherever I'm at. I'm considered a part-time pastor, I guess, if you will, but I work an outside job for 8 hours a day. But could I tell you, there's not a day goes by that I don't have the Savior on my mind. And could I tell you, I take comfort in this familiar scripture. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." So whatever's going on, my friend, in your life today, whether you got physical issues or whether you got other things, if you got financial issues, if your old car won't start on you, if your house is run down and needs fixing up, let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus, my friend, is the resting place today. And we don't have to live this life troubled in our spirit this morning. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. These men, I believe some of them have been raised and taught about God. But I don't believe they realized just whose presence they were in today. And could I ask you this morning, do you really realize whose presence that you're in this morning today? Could I tell you this morning, it ain't the building that houses the presence of God. It's this old heart right here that houses the presence of God. And when God's people meet together, His presence ought to be made known. And could I tell you, I don't know about you, I know that some of y'all attend churches where people are free in the Spirit, and they'll shout, and they'll even run the aisles once in a while. And I tell my people at home, there's no need in sitting there like a zombie. You might as well enjoy the service while you're here. You've made the effort to get here. You might as well just go ahead and get in the Spirit and let Him have His way with you. And when we sit there like a knot on the log and the service ends dry, we're going to go home dry. We might as well just worship the Lord while we're here. He said, let not your heart be troubled. The world is in trouble today. Our country is in trouble today. But He said, let not your heart be troubled. And He's speaking to the church here this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually this morning. And that's what He was telling His disciples right here. Don't let your heart be troubled over the things of this world, because there's a better day coming. And there's a better time coming. And could I tell you today, I've heard about the bombings. I've heard about all those people being killed over there. But you know what? It's a terrible thing. I know that, and I'm not making light of it. But those people that were born again are in a better place today, and they just got there quicker than we did, my friend. Is it a tragedy? Sure it is. But I'll tell you, one day I plan on being there too when He's done with me here. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house, I noticed a few things when I was studying this a few weeks ago that I haven't ever seen before. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Could I tell you, my friend, I believe He's talking about a heavenly home, the heavenly home that He came from, my friend. And one of these days, New Jerusalem is going to come down here. It talks about the streets of gold and the jewels and the crowns that are in the walls of jasper. And the Bible says that we can't even imagine what He's got laid up in store in heaven for us. But He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. Could I tell you that in redneck language? It's a personal salvation. It's a personal thing. And He didn't do just a blanket house for everyone. He made a special place for you. And He made a special place for me. My wife and I, we've got a little place out here just outside of Springfield, between Willard and Springfield, and that's our little heaven that we go to. We love where we live, the place that we live in. Brother Mike and Sister Brenda come by once in a while and will spend the night with us, and we'll praise the Lord and fellowship together. You can't have fellowship without a little food once in a while. But could I tell you, we have heavenly food once in a while too. But you can look out the patio door most days, and you can see a bunch of old turkeys, or you can see a few deer once in a while, or about to get overrun with groundhogs. They're going to have to prepare a place for themselves one of these days if they don't quit tearing up my yard. But could I tell you, my friend, it ain't nothing compared to what God's laid in store for us in heaven. And you might have $1 million in the bank, and you might have a $1 million house. We live in a humble abode, but we think it's pretty pretty good, and God's blessed us with a good church family. I go to camp meetings, and sometimes I hear pastors talking about the trouble in their church and what they've dealt with, and I just sit there thanking the Lord for the church that I pastor, and I hope some of them's watching, because I love the church that I pastor. I appreciate the willingness of them to work and do God's work, and we try to evangelize and we try to teach our children right. But could I tell you, my friend, one of these days it's all going to be worthwhile. And could I tell you, I don't know what he's got prepared for me, but could I tell you, if it's just a little place to sit while I praise his name for all eternity, that'll be all right for me. But could I tell you, there's a song that says, prepare, just give me a cabin in the corner of glory land. A cabin ain't got no place in glory land, because he's got his Father's house as many mansions in it. And could I tell you again, before I get done here, that it's for you, for individual, for you. It's not for the whole bunch of us. It's each one for each individual. Could I tell you, what that means is that he loves me, and that he cares for me, and he'll provide for me, my friend. And I believe he'll do it right here on earth too. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He's talking about your spiritual heart. He's not talking about this physical heart. This physical heart's going to wear out one of these days. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. Could I tell you, as bad as this world's getting, we, as born-again Christians, have that blessed hope today that passeth all understanding. You know what that means? It means I can't figure it out. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm just a dumb old country boy that ran so long from the Lord, from the ministry, that when he finally just caught up to me and said, you either do it or you're done, one or the other. My greatest regret in life today is not answering the call when he first called me. But you know, I think sometimes he taught me a lot of things while I was running. He taught me that you can't run from God. He taught me that you'll be much happier if you'll just go ahead and do what he wants you to do in the first place. He taught me that an old hard heart toward the people around you, between brothers and sisters, just ain't his way. He taught me, he gave me a love for people. And I'm not too embarrassed to tell you that he gave my children a new daddy. He gave my wife a new husband. See, I troubled my wife for a lot of years. But you can ask her. I know the Free Will Baptist won't license you in ministry if you've been married more than once. But she's had two different husbands in her life. The one before I gave myself totally to the Lord, and the one after. I like the one after better too. Not a perfect man, no, by a long shot. I make mistakes. But my Bible says I have an advocate with the Father that's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins if I ask. And I ask on a regular basis. Let's go on. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for me. That this thing, this walk that we walk, is an individual thing. No matter how much I love someone, I can't get them into heaven and tell them about it. And I can walk in a way that they can see it through me. But that's why God gave us free will. He's a gentleman and he won't force himself upon you. Then he said,
And if I go to prepare a place for you, I like this. I'll come again.
Amen.
I think of there in Acts. Just flip over there real quick, if you would, to Acts, the first chapter. First chapter, verse 9, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? Get this, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He's coming back, church.
Amen.
And that mansion that he's prepared for you, or that place that he's prepared for you, hey, he's coming back, and he's going to take his people one of these days to be where he's at. And he said, "If it wasn't so, I would have told you." Could I tell you, some of it, there's been saints all through the ages that he's already come back for through the grave. And the Bible talks about in Thessalonians there where one of these days he's going to bring those souls back with him. He's going to step out of the cloud, and he's going to come back. And he said, and he said with a shout, with the sound of a trump, I believe every eye and every will see him, whether you're saved or not, when he splits the eastern sky. I realize that some think that people be wondering where we're at. I don't believe they'll be wondering where we're at. I believe they'll be grieving crying even hurting themselves because they didn't get to go, because they didn't make that choice. And the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is God, because He will come back. I don't know whether He'll come back for me through the grave or whether it'll be through the air, but I'm telling you, He is coming back. And I've heard that preached all my life, and I'm still preaching it. But could I tell you the way I heard it, if you think that He's not, it's just so much closer now than it was when I first heard it, my friend. I want to tell you this, that He is coming back for His people one of these days. And He said, "He will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I don't know about you, but I don't know how you're sitting still this morning, knowing that where He is at, you're going to be there also. Could I tell you, I've never been a real shouter. I'm a crier when the Holy Spirit deals with me, and when He tugs on my heart, I can't help but shed tears. But could I tell you, my friend, my Bible tells me that there'll be no more tears in heaven, that God Himself shall come, and I believe He'll just put His arms around me, and I believe He'll wipe away those tears, and He'll wipe away all those cares and all those troubles and all those heartaches that we've had down here through this life. And I believe it's going to be something like you can't even imagine. We try to go on vacation with our kids once in a while, and we've been to some really nice places. We've been to the Smoky Mountains. We've been to the beaches in Florida. But could I tell you, my friend, where I'm going, my friend, when this life is over, this place ain't got nothing to keep me here. I'm telling you, and you might think that old preacher is just an old blubbering mess, and yeah, I am. But could I tell you, it's because of the love of Jesus Christ that lives and resides there within me, because I made the choice to accept Him as my Savior. I realize that probably if I would ask everyone in this house that's reached the age of accountability is a child of God today. But could I tell you, if there happened to be one here that doesn't, the best choice that you could ever make in your life would be just to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and your life today. And if there's someone watching out there today, the best choice that you could ever make would be to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
And then get in a good church that's got a good church family of like-minded people.
Yeah.
That would be the best decision you could ever make in your life. And he said, and whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Do you know what? Most people in the world today have heard the gospel message. Most people in the world today, at least in this country, know what it would be like or know how to be saved. They just choose not to be. But you know what? This next person I'm going to talk to you about for a little while, they called him Doubting Thomas. I believe everyone in this room probably has got a little bit of Doubting Thomas in them. But I'm glad that he asked this question. He said, Thomas saith unto his Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I'm glad he asked that. I'm glad he asked it, because here's the answer, straight from the lips of Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Could I tell you, He is the way. And I don't know your way, but my way is to follow Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the way today is the path that we take, the life that we live, the things that we do in this life and the things that we don't do in this life. The way is Jesus Christ. You'll not make it to heaven any other way. And He said, I'm the way, the truth. He is the truth. There is no lie in Him. There is no variation from Him. One writer said, this is a very dogmatic statement, and it is. It's His way or no way, my friend. I looked up that word dogmatic to make sure that I knew what I was preaching this morning. And it means that two and two mean four, and every time you add it up, it's going to be four. Every time that someone tries to get to heaven any other way than Jesus Christ, it ain't going to be four, my friend. It's got to be through Jesus Christ and Him only. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You won't find any wrongdoing in Jesus Christ. He plans for us to live a holy life. He plans for, I'm telling you, my friend, I don't know about you, but I don't believe that we can say that we're a child of God and then go live any way that we want to, the way of this world or the way of Satan. And I realize that Satan will sit on your shoulder and said, oh, it's all right to do this. My friend, I don't know about you, but I don't believe it is. I believe unless it's by the Word of God, I don't believe you ought to do it, my friend. He is the way. He is the truth. And then He is the life this morning. I'm talking about eternal life this morning. I'm talking about that place that He's prepared for you. I'm talking about that place that He's prepared for me. I'm talking about my eternal home. I'm talking about that place that, I don't know about you, but I plan on going there someday. I'm glad that I have that peace that passeth all understanding. I'm glad that I know what it is to be a child of God. Do I make mistakes? Sure I do. But I try not to make the same mistakes twice. And I ask Him to forgive me. He said, I'm the life. Looking forward to that eternal life. It's going to be something. I really don't know. I my mind is not great enough to imagine what it's going to be. But I know that the one who died for me will be there. And I know that no matter what this life brings and the trials that we have to go through, it'll all be worth it. It'll all be worth it.
John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 10:9 says, Jesus speaking, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Do you want to be fed spiritually today? Just turn your life over to Jesus. Then, more of a familiar scripture, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He is the life. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the earth. It was without form, without void. And there was light and there was darkness, and He separated them. Church, we got to be a separate from the darkness today. And in John chapter 1, talks about Him being the light of the world. He is the light of the world. But darkness separates from the light. We can't live in darkness and live for Him. In Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm glad that I've made that move today. I'm glad that when this life is over, my wife has to get rid of this old body that carries me around here. I'm glad that she can have the confidence to know that one day we'll see each other again. I'm glad been two men in my life probably that I've tried to pattern my life after. I know that you shouldn't pattern your life after men, but these men have been men that I've looked upon, and I don't believe that would ever lead me astray, not intentionally anyway. My father-in-law is one of those men, yes, an old-time preacher. Yes, sir. I've watched him over the years, and the other man is Brother Mike Hutzel, sitting right over here. Yeah. He was my first pastor other than my father-in-law. Yes. Both men of God. I'm glad that we'll be together again when this life is over. I've met others along the way. Many of you in here today, Brother Allen, we've had tremendous times at your camp meeting just being able to visit and watch. I think I heard the final total, but his camp meeting, and most of you probably already know this, but we went there and we were supposed to run Sunday through Wednesday, right? It ended up going all that week and all the next week, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And the final total of people saved every service. And Brother Allen was receptive to the Holy Spirit. And as long as people were being saved, am I correct? The camp meeting kept going. It went for 2 weeks. And the final total was like 31 people saved in that camp meeting.
We're at
38 now. You talk about revival, son. Amen. There's no reason that can't happen in every one of your individual churches that are represented here today. Amen. It is. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." I'll give you one more scripture and then I'll close. Then I'll be done. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. This is more familiar scripture, but it's where the Lord's led me today. Most of you probably can quote this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds
to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. I like this verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's comfort in knowing. I told you one more scripture, but I got another one I want to give you. They make fun of me at church because I say in closing, and the Lord leads me somewhere else, but I promise you this will be the last one. Just turn your page. Excuse me. Turn your page over to the last part of chapter 16 in John. It says these things. This is a continuation of the scripture that I preached on this morning. The Jesus speaking. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Amen.
He's overcome this world today. He's ascended back to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. He was the payment, the propitiation for sin, the Bible says. He's paid the price. He's already paid the price. Why would someone not accept what He's given you, offered you? He said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. There is peace in this world. There can be peace in this world. But it's only through Jesus Christ. And He's overcome this world. I don't know, Brother Mike, you want to... I know who I'm preaching today. I believe if there's someone here that might just need to come and thank the Lord for what He's done for them, I ought to give you that opportunity. Would you stand with me for just a minute?